Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Number 85, God of wonders beyond our galaxy, that is for sure. Lord of all creation, of water, earth, and sky, heavens are your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord on high. God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy. Holy, the universe declared your majesty. You are holy, holy, Lord of heaven and earth. Lord of heaven and earth. Early in the morning, I will celebrate the light. When I stumble in the darkness, I will call your name by night. God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy, Lord of heaven and earth. Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah to the Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah to the Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah to the Lord of heaven and earth. God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy, Lord of heaven and earth. Lord of heaven and earth. Lord of heaven and earth. Amen. Yes, he is. That's who we proclaim and who we worship. Good morning. Get myself situated here real quick so that's not flopping around at my feet. Okay, yes, a beautiful morning it is once again. Wow, after a cold, cold week, we have some reprieve and beautiful temperatures. So I'm glad you're all here. Welcome. We'll go through some announcements before we go on with our worship service today. First of all, we do have coffee hour after church in the social hall, so hope you can all stay and join us, visit and fellowship. If there's somebody you don't know, that's a good time to sit by them. That's how you get to know them, right? So please enjoy that. I want to mention this bouquet of flowers on my right and the one over there on my left of the roses. Those are both shared with us by the family of Amos Schultz. That's Fred's father and Lauren's dad and Mike and Stuart. And his funeral service was yesterday. So thank you to the family and continued prayers for the family during this time. Also, as you're coming in, if you didn't The Salem Spire is there for March, so if you came in this way and didn't get it, please pick it up on your way out of church. The marriage seminar, which is next Sunday. Before church, I think I only saw 6 names on there, so I sure hope we get a bunch more signed up. We always have a great time. This is just to bless us and bless our marriages. We all have to work on that all the time. And so whatever age you are, if you're newlywed or if you're going to be wed or if you're however many years wed, you are all invited to come. We'll have supper from Roosters, and it talks about it more in the bulletin. But we need you to sign up so if you're coming so we can give an account to Roosters. Yeah, invite your friends. Anybody is welcome to this, okay? Confirmation classes tubing, that is today. We'll be leaving here from the church at 2:30 to go up to Great Bear. Well, we'll go to Pizza Ranch first. So parents, they don't need a great big dinner, really, because we'll be eating a big dinner at 3:30. Should hope to be back about 8:30-ish. This Wednesday starts our Lenten season with Ash Wednesday. At 7 o'clock we have church. The high school students are going to be helping. They've been working hard on their special song, for sure, and the other parts of their service, so I hope you can all come. It sounds like a beautiful weather week, so that should not be a hindrance there. Otherwise, one other thing, the cantata, the Easter cantata, we're starting practices a week from tomorrow, March 7th, that Monday evening. First practice is at the Methodist Church in Olivet, and you see the information there, so let's have a good turnout for that, too, of voices. It's always a beautiful time. The rest of the announcements I will let you read, please, as you have time. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, you are the God of wonders beyond our galaxy. You are Lord of heaven and earth. You are the maker of the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is therein. And as Psalms says, the heavens declare your glory. And we declare your glory on this earth. And help us to do that, Lord, as we sing our opening hymn, "Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing." We sing your praises, Father. And we ask that all the host of heaven would join with us, as we can only imagine what that is like there before your throne. As the host of heaven sings, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And all of the singing and all of the praises, and we join with them on this earth. So, Lord, we ask for your blessing on this time together. We ask for you to fill this sanctuary with the presence and power of your Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Number 21 is our opening hymn. Let's stand together as we sing this, "Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing." Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace. He breaks the power of canceled sin, he sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean, his blood awaits for me. Hear him, ye deaf, his praise ye dumb, your loosened tongues employ. blind, behold your Savior come, and weep ye lame for joy. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of thy name. Amen. Amen. And we sing his praises. Well, take a moment, greet those around you, please, before you're seated. Okay, good to see everyone this morning. We'll have our sharing of joys and concerns here. Things, of course, that I have written down. Certainly a big praise to the Lord for Dylan Hofer. This is Jim and Deb Christensen's grandson, 8 years old, who had a sarcoma tumor on his arm, and they did surgery on Wednesday and got it all, didn't have to go so deep, and he did not have to have any skin grafting, and he's doing well. So praise the Lord. It's a good report. Amen. Amen. And to God be the glory. As I mentioned earlier, just prayers for Fred and Ann Schultz and Lauren and Jennifer and the families at Amos's homegoing. And if you came in late, the two flower bouquets, those are from his funeral service yesterday. Just update on my dad. We had hoped he'd go back to assisted living this last week, but that didn't happen yet, so hopefully this next week. But he's coming along, little by little, regaining his strength. And how's your sister?
Improving. Might get out tomorrow.
Okay, good. Arlen's sister out in Phoenix, who had a major back surgery and then really took big steps backwards, but she is improving and might get out tomorrow. So wonderful. Certainly prayers, as we all are, I'm sure, for Ukraine and the conflict over there, the people of Ukraine. It just grieves our hearts as we hear and see the things that are happening. So we continue to lift them up. Anything else? Over here, Kiara. Yeah, all right, Jeff Nuss, happy birthday today. God bless you. Yes. Kaylee Derby.
My grandpa's birthday was on Wednesday.
It was, yeah. Happy birthday, Roger. There you are. Roger Heckenleibel's birthday was on Wednesday. Okay. Yes, Pat.
Thank you all for cards and prayers. We're still suffering with open wounds, but it's hanging in there.
Yeah. Okay. Pat Palmerville. Great that you're able to be here today. They've had just such a long haul and struggle, both of them with health issues. Pat's saying thanks for the prayers and the cards. Lee is coming along. He still has some open wounds. They're trying to heal up. So he doesn't really walk anymore. It's either in the bed or in the recliner. So just continued prayers for them. Is that Lincoln? All right. Lincoln Guth Miller's birthday is coming on Wednesday. How old are you going to be?
Four.
Okay. Happy birthday. Andrew. Jerry and Joanne Nuss's anniversary is tomorrow. And what number are we at? 52 years. God bless you. Amen. Okay, how about over here? Is that Deb? Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Deb Christensen saying thanks for all the prayers, a blessing that they are. Cheryl. Okay. Okay. Yeah, I bet. Okay, Connie Herbolt. This would be Cheryl's sister-in-law and David's sister-in-law. Huh? Yeah, Lonnie is her husband, right? Broke her leg a couple weeks ago. She's in a big brace for another month for sure. Okay, prayers for Connie. Was there someone else over there? No. No? Okay. Okay. Yes. Ivana Schaefer's birthday is Friday. Happy birthday, Ivana. Okay. Let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for these requests as we lift them up to you. For Connie Herbolt, we do pray, Lord, with that broken leg and ask for healing there throughout her body. Give her strength. Thank you for being with her husband, Lonnie, as he, I'm sure, is caregiver right now. Thank you for Dylan Hofer, Lord, as we gave our hand clapping all to you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for many answered prayers there in this little boy's life and for your healing touch continuing as that heals up completely throughout his body. We want to pray, Lord, for and thank you for those birthdays and anniversaries mentioned and your continued blessings upon them all. We do pray for the family of Amos Schultz, especially his wife Geraldine, after 67 years of marriage and adjusting to life without him on this earth. Comfort her, watch over her, and all the family. Thank you for Lee and Pat Palmerville, that Pat's able to be here today. And we just pray for Lee and ask for continued strength. We ask for healing of those sores on his body and throughout his being. I thank you, Lord, for Elton and Myrna Herbolt, as I think Elton's back here this morning. It's wonderful to see him. And thank you, Lord, for just continuing to renew his strength more and more each day. For my dad, we pray the same. And we praise you by faith because we know that you are at work in these situations. For Arlen's sister, too, who continues to improve out there in Arizona. We have so much to thank you for, Lord. We want to lift up the country of Ukraine, that conflict there as Russia advances in. Lord, there's so much we don't understand that happens in our world that doesn't seem right. You see the big picture, but we pray for these people, both nations. We ask for your intervention, Father, according to your will and your plan. We pray, Lord, as I saw early this morning, the people of Ukraine, mothers giving birth in the subway to little ones. It's something, it's hard to imagine for us as we live here in safety for the most part. So we pray for those people, Lord God, be with them, give them strength. We pray the blood of Jesus over this whole situation. Lord, for any other things, joys, concerns that were mentioned that I'm not recalling but you heard, we lift this all to you and thank you. We thank you for, I need to pray for our troops, Lord, as we always do, serving so faithfully at home and abroad, and for our nation, as we thank you by faith for what you are doing here. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Now unto him who is able, God is able to do anything. Unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ever ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let's stand as we sing the doxology, please. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him up, ye heavenly hosts. praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Father, we worship you with our giving. So we bring the first fruits here into this storehouse, not just dropping money in a box, but sowing seed into your kingdom so that your word can be proclaimed far and wide, that Jesus, as we see the verse every Sunday where you declared you are the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father except through you. And let that message go forth and let it fall on open ears, Father, as it does. We pray that hearts are being softened and that the devil's blindness on people's minds is being removed so that they can come to know the joy of serving you, Jesus, and knowing you as Lord and Savior. Thank you for these things, Father, in Jesus' name. And we confess our faith together through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The children, come please for Kingdom Kids time.
And those that went to camp that are going to share a little bit, you can please come up too and just stand behind or sit behind the forest, highest up children. Oops. It's okay. You can sit down up there. Well, good morning, boys and girls. How are you all? Good, good. Wow. So, what kind of sports do you like? Just tell me something. Soccer? Volleyball? Football,
basketball,
baseball. Anything different than what I said? Than what they said? Anything different?
Basketball,
softball. What kind of sport? Like baseball, volleyball, swimming, that kind of stuff.
Swimming.
Okay.
Swimming.
Swimming. Got one up back there. Softball.
Wrestling.
Swim team. Okay, so those are all things. So say you want to get better at one of these things. You want to get better at playing basketball, or you want to get better at swimming and faster, and you want to compete maybe. What can you do in the summer? You can go to a camp, right?
Yes.
Sometimes you or be a part of the swim team.
I haven't
yeah, you'll have to ask your mom and dad, okay? And as you get older, you're going to know, right? So you older ones, have you gone to camps that are sports related? Yes. Okay, all of those things. And you, when you get older, you'll have the opportunity to do those things if you want to. And there are also things there's even music camps if you like to sing, or there's band camps. There's all kind of camps that you can go to. So What do you think about if you want to maybe spend a little bit more time with God, or if you want to learn more about God? What do you think about going to a Christian camp? Would that be cool? You think so? I think so too. So how about you guys stand up, those that are in the back, and there's some that are sitting that will answer too. Here, I'm going to give this to you, and I'm going to start with Jocelyn, the oldest up there, and then you just pass, okay? So these all went to, these ones standing and some others that maybe not be up here. They went to Swan Lake this summer, correct? Did anybody go to another Christian camp? No. They went to Swan Lake, and part of helping them to go there, the women of the church helped to fund them to go if their family wants that funding. And also, I know Connie Kirschman's mother also helps kids to go, children, youth to go to camp. Whether your age, and according to my little pamphlet here, you can go starting at age 5 all the way up to high school, right? And so we would like to hear some of your experiences. So, and I want the boys and girls here to really listen, because this is something that you might want to do too someday. So we'll start with Jocelyn. Jocelyn, how did your camp experience strengthen your relationship with the Lord?
Camp has showed me many ways how I can go to the Lord, and many ways I can worship Him.
Awesome. That's really cool. Okay, Maddie, do I have your question? Nope, you just tell me. Did you have one? Number 2. Well, oh, maybe I do have this on here. Oop, thought I had it all typed up. Sorry. Number 2, would you recommend other youth in our church to go to attend camp?
Yes, it would be an experience in many ways to learn about God.
That's really awesome. Okay, Zoe?
For one.
Number one?
Yeah.
Okay. Number one question is, what was your favorite experience at camp?
Well, my favorite experience at camp was making new friends.
That's really important. Okay. Ashlyn, your question. I do have you down there. Number 2, would you recommend other youth in our church to attend camp?
Yeah, I made many new friends and learned about God together.
Awesome. All right. Joanna, what was your favorite experience at camp? It's a little bit hard sometimes, you know.
Making friends?
That's good. It's good to make new friends. Okay, Ivana?
Swimming.
Swimming. I like that one too. It's fun to go there because you not only do you do all of these, you have Christian experiences and learn about God, but you have a lot of fun, don't you? Swimming, boating. All right, Raylan? You get to at camp. Yeah, it's fun. All right, Raylan.
My favorite part was swimming in the lake.
Was it? All right, good. Did you get to do any other things like go in a canoe or boat or? You did? Did you have splash fights or any of that, you know? You didn't splash the counselors?
No.
Really? Oh, the counselors threw you into the water. Okay, no. They were dunking you. That's better than splashing you, I think. What?
No,
they were splashing you. Okay, you probably weren't allowed to dunk each other. Maybe not. Okay, Laura, would you recommend other youth in our church to go to camp?
Yes, get new friends.
Yeah, that's really special to meet new friends, especially those that love God too, right? Okay, Leah. During your camp experience, were you able to meet another Christian that would help you grow and build your faith?
Yes, there's lots of kids that come year after year, and you get to play with them.
Okay, cool, and you get to hear their stories too. Do you ever are you ever around the campfire and maybe you tell your some stories in your life about your walk with God or? Yeah, cool. Trent, what was your favorite experience at camp?
Campfire.
Campfire? That would be one of mine, too. What do you do at the campfire?
There's lots of games that you can play.
Okay. That's fun. All right. Okay. Did I get everybody up here? Hold on. I have one more. I have one more that's not here that's on my list. Addison. She wasn't able to be here, but I asked her if she would answer one of the questions and text me. And her question was, let's see. What was her favorite experience at camp? Was that one? My favorite experience, yes, was being able to connect with campers and counselors. I like that we can freely talk about God. Isn't that fun? That is such a neat thing, that they can go to this camp and that you can talk about God and talk about Jesus and what all he did for you and what he can do for you. But then when you come back, our prayer too is that we could freely talk about God, right? Yes, that's our prayer. So you boys and girls want to go to camp? How many of you are five? Are going to be five? You get to go to a day camp if you want. All right. How many and are all the way up to high school, right? And those that are younger, we do something here too that's not, you don't go spend the night. But what do we do here in the summer where you get to come and we learn about God and we have fun, fun, fun? Okay. You're forgetting. VBS. There you go. Vacation Bible School. Yeah, that's where you get to come and do all those things too. So thank you for sharing. It's not easy to do this, to come up here and stand, but thank you for sharing your experiences with us. You can go back. Okay, so there's my challenge to you guys, you kids, all right, that we can be excited about this, and one day we'll get to go too, okay? All right. Oh, I was going to read you a scripture too. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing and hearing through the word of God. What they did by going to camp is they're building their faith and they're hearing about God. So that's very exciting, right? That's one way that we can encourage ourselves in the Lord is to go to camp. Okay? All right. Do you want to go to camp?
Yes.
All right. I'm not very convinced. Yes. Do you want to go to camp?
Yes.
Do I want to go to camp? Yes. I don't know. I don't know about the staying the night thing. Okay. Anyway, let's pray. Ready? Father, we love you so much, and we're so grateful for these experiences with these youth that got to go to camp. And we just ask you to bless them, continuing bless them, help others to just want to go to camp too, just to go to learn about you and to have fun. And thank you to the women of the church and those that have helped these youth be able to go there. Ask you to bless these boys and girls, and wherever they go this week, help them to bless others with your love, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Thanks.
Thank you, Anne.
Mm-hmm.
And kids and the women of the church, thank you for your help. It's a wonderful blessing in ministry. We're going to sing one out of the praise book now, number 91, Jesus, Hope of the Nations, number 91. Jesus, hope of the nations, Jesus, comfort for all who mourn. You are the source of heaven's hope on earth. Jesus, light in the darkness, Jesus, truth in each circumstance. You are the source of heaven's light on earth. In history, you lived and died. You broke the chains. You rose to life. You are the hope living in us. You are the rock in whom we trust. You are the light shining for all the world to see. You rose from the dead, conquering fear, our Prince of Peace, drawing us near. Jesus, our hope, living for all the will we see. Lord, we believe. Jesus, hope of the nations, Jesus, comfort for all who mourn. You are the source of heaven's hope on earth. Jesus, light in the darkness. Jesus, truth in each circumstance. You are the source of heaven's light on earth. In history, you lived and died. You broke the chains. You rose to life. You are the hope living in us. You are the rock in whom we trust. You are the light shining for all the world to see. You rose from the dead, conquering fear. Our Prince of Peace, drawing us near. Jesus, our hope, living for all who will receive. You are the hope living in us. You are the rock in whom we trust. You are the light shining for all the world to see. You rose from the dead, conquering fear. Our Prince of Peace, drawing us near. Jesus, our hope, living for all who will receive. Lord, we believe. Yes, we believe. Let's pray, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. You are the hope of the nations, Jesus. You are truth in each circumstance. You are the source of heaven's light on this earth, and we ask that you would shine through us. As you yourself said to your followers when you were on the earth, and you say it to us today, that we are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And we ask you to shine brightly, Lord, that people would be drawn to you in the midst of the darkness. We thank you for your word that speaks loud and clear to every situation that we face in this life. And Father, I ask that our ears would be open to hear. I ask, as always, that you would speak through me by the power of your Spirit, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to be in Nehemiah chapter 1 this morning. Nehemiah chapter 1. I know the last three Sundays I've sort of moved around different places. Part of that is because Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, which starts our Lenten season, and then we'll pick up a series as we go into that. But this is very important here, what happened in the time of Nehemiah, what happened in Jerusalem. Let me give you a couple blanks there, just to tell you first. There's Ezra and Nehemiah. The two books are right beside each other. Some have said initially they were one book. So Ezra, he was a priest, and he was a teacher of the law. Nehemiah, who we're going to hear most about today, he was a layman. That's what he was. And he was assigned a duty of a cup bearer to the king. The king of who? The king in Babylon, because they had been exiled there 70 years earlier. Remember, Judah, the people of Judah had been hauled off some 900 miles down there to Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar. And so there they are. Nehemiah had rose in position and being trustworthy to be the cupbearer of the king. That was a very, very important position in the court. He was one of the king's closest companions. One of the things he did was he taste-tested the wine before the king drank it. Why? Because crazy times then, people were trying to assassinate the leaders and so on, just like happens today. And one of the ways they would try to do it was to poison the wine. So the cupbearer was the one who got to test it first. Most of the times it was good. If it wasn't, then somebody else had to taste the wine, right? He even would guard the sleeping quarters of the king. So he was highly favored there. So Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. In the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, so Nehemiah is the one telling the story here, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men. And I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, "Those who survived the exile are back in the province and are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire." When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And then I said, and this goes into his prayer, "O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commands, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, 'If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man," and I'll tell you, that man is going to be the king. And then he says, "I was cupbearer to the king." All right. Last week, we went back a lot of years, and I talked about what our mission is of this local church, and what is it? To be a
life-saving station.
Oh, good. To be a life-saving station. Yeah. Rescuing victims of shipwreck in life. That's our mission. And Jesus is the answer. He is the only answer. And so we're going back. This is 500 years before Christ was born in Bethlehem. As I said a little bit, the Jewish people from Judah had been exiled, hauled off as slaves and servants down there to Babylon, which, excuse me, today is Iraq, Iran, in that part of our world. And they were kept there for 70 years. And Jeremiah the prophet, he was speaking to them before the captivity and warning them and warning and warning and warning. But they would not turn. And here comes King Nebuchadnezzar. Jeremiah even prophesied, "You're going to be there 70 years. And so it was. They were. But we're going to see here the importance of prayer for a nation. When we come to this part of Nehemiah, I'll tell you this, 13 years earlier than this point, Ezra, the priest, the teacher of the law, he had made a trip back to Jerusalem with some of the exiles. They were allowed to go. And their mission, part of their mission was to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. That was their place of worship. And so what's happening here, listen again, verse 1. "Now the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, in the month of Kislev." So it's important to know what these months are because you're going to see something. Kislev, you got blanks there. That would have been in November/December, okay? Our months don't line up perfectly with their months in the Old Testament. So you got part of November, part of December. In the year 446 BC, in the 20th year, That means, what you see it, in the reign of King Artaxerxes. That's what he's referring to. It's amazing the detail that these people kept, inspired by God. Because it just confirms history. You can go back in secular history and find all of this lining up with Scripture. It does. In the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa. Well, where was that? And what was that? Susa was the winter residence for Persian kings. So snowbirds today got nothing on 2,500 years ago. They were snowbirds then too, those that could be. And the king was. So he would go there in the winter. And where is Susa today? It is in the southwest part of Iran. That's where that was. So again, from there up to Jerusalem, you're talking 900-some miles. That's quite a long shot. He goes on, Hanani, one of my brothers, and also he's called Hananiah. A lot of commentaries believe that it was actually Nehemiah's brother, not just a brother in the Lord, but literally his brother. He came from Judah. Judah, that's where Jerusalem is. With some other men, and I questioned them. Of course, Nehemiah had a heart for the land of Israel. He had a heart for God. He had a heart for the temple of God. I questioned them about how the Jewish remnant that survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. How is it going back there? How is this temple coming? How are the walls around the city? Because that was their only form of protection in that day. He was hoping for a good report. It's what he was hoping, but verse 3 says, they said to me, those who survived the exile and are back in the province, they're back in Judah, are in great trouble and disgrace. That is not what he wanted to hear. And he goes on, Hanani, with this report. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire. In other words, over the last 13 years that this group had been there, they had made no progress in what they were sent to do. No progress. Were they lazy? No. There were enemies there all around Jerusalem. People had moved in over that 70 years, just like it would be here. What if we all were moved out of here, taken exile somewhere else, our houses left, the farms, the everything left? You think it's just going to wait here for us till we get back? No, not going to work that way. People are going to come in, take over. That's what happened right there. And they did not want those Jewish people coming back. The walls and the gates, that was their protection. But what did Nehemiah, this is what we're going to see, what did he do first? He went to prayer. That we have got to know that. In our day, it is all important. You know, I talk to you about prayer often, and I have to spur us onward in it. Prayer can be challenging because so many times we do not see the immediate results. And we tend to think, what's happening? Seems like nothing's happening. We all struggle with that. But it is happening in the realm of the Spirit. God is doing His work. He's hearing our prayers for our nation. It is important. So the walls of Jerusalem fallen down, the gates burned with fire, their protection. I found here recently something I looked up back in 2016. And I'm going to quote from Franklin Graham as he talks a little bit about this passage, 2016. It's just the same today, if not worse, honestly, because our spiritual and moral walls have crumbled in large part. Now, I'm not trying to knock our nation. We love our nation. I was thinking of Travis, who's been in the Navy coming on 19 years, and if you ask him, as I have when he's been back, about things around the world and things here, and he'll say to me, I've traveled the world, and I can say this is the best place to live. And I think we would all agree. Amen? And we want it to stay that way. And we have a part to play if it's going to stay that way. That's serious. So quoting here, Franklin Graham, 2016, our nation is in trouble. We are in trouble spiritually. We are. We are in trouble racially and economically. We are. We're in trouble politically. We are. No political party is going to be able to turn this system around. Yes, they play parts in it. I'm not denying that. But it is going to take a sovereign move of Almighty God across this land to turn things. And that means the church has got to be praying. Number one, I'm here today to tell you the only hope for this country is Almighty God. And the most important thing we can do is pray. Our moral walls and gates are down. Any type of wicked thought and activity can come in. Boy, does it. Can come and go. Our educators, not here locally, we're very blessed right here. But across the nation, our educators, politicians, even some churches are more concerned about being politically correct than about God's truth and His righteousness. Now let me take a pause right here. There's a little more to read on. Just this very last week, I had a call from a pastor friend of mine in California. He served on the board of directors with me, got to know him very well. Neat young man, has four young children. The oldest is in middle school. And how's it going? Oh man, Mike, it is a battle out here. A constant battle, not going into it all. But he told in the schools, the struggles, if you're standing for Christ, he said, my daughter, who's in middle school, had a good friend. I'll just put Susie as her name. Good friend in school. So this guy's daughter, he said, my daughter had gotten sick and was out of school for a full week. When she goes back, she can't find her friend there. And so she asks her teacher, where's Susie? I've been looking all over and I cannot find her. And the teacher just chews her out. Her name is not Susie anymore. His name is to be Derek. And don't you ever call her Susie again. Do you understand me? And that his daughter just comes home in tears. In tears. And this pastor, his wife, substitute teaches out there. Public schools often. She says, they say, it is so hard, her as a substitute teacher. When I walk into the bathroom, I have no clue how many boys are going to be in the women's bathroom or vice versa. That's something, isn't it? I said, wow. I said, there's a church right here in Parkston, South Dakota. Why don't you move up? They need a pastor. I've told them that often. I can tell you, I'm not going to name them, of a couple Christian universities, one in South Dakota, one in North Dakota, and I know it firsthand from students there, that in the classrooms at the start of the semester, some of the professors go around and say to every student, and he or she, the teacher, writes this down, what is your personal pronoun? What? Yeah, I see looks on some of your faces. What? Well, what? Are you he? Are you she? Are you he, she? Are you some other thing? I saw a video this last week of a bathroom in California. It says, for those of you who identify as a cat, the litter box is in the corner. And it was not a joke. I tell you, I'm not trying to be negative today, but I have to talk about these things because we are bombarded nonstop from the other side. Movies, music, TikTok as the kids watch, and whatever else. Going on here, back to the quote, and then we'll go on. Franklin Graham says, if religious freedoms continue to be curtailed in the next decade as much as in the past decade, we will wake up and hardly recognize that this was once one nation under God. So by God's power and grace, may God's people truly be strong and take action. When I heard these things, Nehemiah 1 verse 4, the prayer parts will go quick because we're going to have a prayer here at the end of this in the outline. When I heard these things, Nehemiah says, about his homeland that he loved, I sat down and wept. For some days, I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And that is what we must be doing every day, earnestly, not just here and there, praying, yes. So we go into the prayer. There's 4 points, and this is really a pattern for prayer. Verse 5 and 6, what that first blank, he starts with adoration. He's going to praise the God of heaven, and that's what we need to do. Then I said, O Lord, God of heaven, the great an awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commandments. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants and the people of Israel. We worship him first for who he is, Almighty God. Our Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy is your name. That's worship. And so we do. The second thing he did is he went then to confession before God. Verse 6, last part in 7. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. We can pray that way on behalf of our nation, and we should. You might just say, well, we're just a small part in the nation. Hey, if one can put 1,000 to flight, the psalm says 2 can put 10,000 to flight. And how many then do the math of how many can 200 put to flight? In the realm of the spirit, he's talking. Millions, probably in the billions. Third, he claims God's promise. He's going back to God's word. Verse 8 and 9. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses. He is actually going back 1,000 years. Everybody loves that song at weddings, right? 1,000 years and the bride comes down. He's going back 1,000 years. Remember, Lord, the instructions you gave your servant Moses, saying, he's quoting scripture, if you are unfaithful, I'll scatter you among the nations. And that's what happened. It did. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even your exiled people who are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. Now, you know when that happened, the nation of Israel? 1948 is when that happened. Fulfilled. Yeah, Israel became a nation again for the first time in centuries. And that sets into motion many things of the last days, the last of the last days where we are living. And God continues to draw them back from the nations around the world, the Jewish people. I realize this is in context with the people of Israel, but I believe it also applies to us as Christian people in our nation, the United States of America. One nation under God. Our nation was founded on God and his word and his principles. And that's trying to even be taken away. Were our forefathers perfect? Of course not. Who is? Did they do things wrong? Of course they did. We all have. But above all, their heart was to honor God, Almighty God, for making requests and supplications. Then he gets into it. They are your servants. This is Nehemiah pleading, and your people. Remember, God, who you redeemed. You redeemed them. How did he redeem us? Through who? Jesus, yes, through Jesus. By his great strength, by your mighty hand, O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. We're here because we do revere his name, and we delight in that. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man, the king. He knew he had to go to the king to ask for help. You might think, oh, did he go the next day? Did he go the next week? He waited 4 months to go before the king. And all that time he was in prayer. And you'd find that in chapter 2. It mentions the month then. It was the month Nisan, N-I-S-A-N. And that was in March, April of the next year. We get so impatient, right? We all do. No, he didn't approach the king with this request for 4 months. And guess what? King Artaxerxes granted him the request. He was just asking permission to be able to go. And the king, an ungodly king, said, you know what? Yes, you can go. I'm going to send you letters to some of the rulers of these territories that you will encounter all along the way, letters to let you pass. I'm going to give you a letter from the one who rules the forest, so of the trees of Lebanon, so you can cut down timber to rebuild the gates. I'm going to give you that. And not only that, I am going to send some of my army with you to protect you. That is how God works. When things look impossible, as we pray for Ukraine, and we do, I think they're outnumbered 100-1 or whatever it is. But we serve the God of the impossible. We see things around us. Yes, is there good happening in our nation? Absolutely. There is a lot good. Is there a true remnant of the church strong in America? Yes, there is. But we have to be challenged in what we're to be doing so we don't lose ground on where we're going. He got back there, saw all this a mess. The next miracle was in 52 days. You'd have to read through Nehemiah chapter 6. In 52 days, they rebuilt that wall and hung those gates. That was a miracle. And the enemies, Sanballat, and I forget the names, I didn't jot them down, the enemies that were there were battling them all the time. Nehemiah even had the workers, okay, with one hand you're going to be putting the rock and the mortar and all on, and the other hand you're holding your shield and you got your weapon right there with you. And then at night we change to another shift and we're doing this thing. And they would get discouraged, yeah, because they were getting blasted all the time, hammered by the enemy. But they had their sight on God and what he wanted to do with them, in them, and through them. We are, I've said it often, you should know it, we are in a battle for the soul of this nation. The forces of darkness, the forces of hell would love to take it down and destroy us for all the work of God going on here and out of here, but they will not succeed if we do our part. We are going to pray. Abby, if you want to put this on the screen. I have it on here because I want you to join me. There's two parts of this prayer. First is adoration. Join me, please. We give praise to you, O Lord, God of our Father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Now, our God, we give thanks and praise your glorious name. And we're going to sing this chorus, I love you, Lord, and then we'll go on in a prayer. Go ahead. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you may it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. We'll sing it once more. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Okay, and if you want to put the rest of that, Abby, thank you. Heavenly Father, we stand upon the promise of your word, which says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. As we are gathered in this sanctuary, in your presence, we humble ourselves before you. We are here, Almighty God, to pray and to seek your face on behalf of our nation, the United States of America. We desperately need revival across this country by the Holy Spirit of God. Pour out your Spirit upon us, we pray, as we repent of our sins and the sins of our nation. Please hear from heaven and forgive our sins and heal our broken nation. It is because of your great love that we are not consumed, for your mercies never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. We love you and praise you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you want to just play that, Cindy, that chorus in. And so, Father, we do. Lord, it was by your Spirit that you led the founding fathers here and you brought them with great faith. And they truly declared your word over and over again in the documents, on the monuments, we see it. Father, we pray for this land. We thank you for the freedoms that we do enjoy. We need revival so that hearts can be changed to see what is sin and what is not according to your word. Lord God, we want our children, our grandchildren, to enjoy the freedoms we've known, that our veterans have fought for, given their lives for, shed blood for, Lord Jesus. Forgive us as these things have crept in inch by inch. And in last recent years, it almost seems mile by mile, Lord God. You are able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond whatever we could even ask or imagine, according to your power that works in us. We just read that verse, Lord, earlier. You are able. You are able. When things seem dark, we pray for parts of our nation that have to be very difficult to live in. Lord, forgive us for the great sin of abortion. Father, forgive us. Oh, turn the hearts of the nation, open the eyes to see when life begins. It's hard to understand what should be so clear. Lord, we need your help in so many ways. Marriages, yes, even between a man and a woman, Lord, we need your help, as it has become just a whatever type thing. Oh, I think not in love, and I guess we'll just end it instead of pushing through. Lord, we need help in every spectrum across the board. Thank you for where we live. Thank you for this congregation, for the families raising their children so diligently, doing their part to see to it that they're here together worshiping you here in Sunday school, here in confirmation. Father, bless them and the challenges they face. The kids, our youth that hear and face things that, well, certainly my age, never even heard of. And now they're bombarded with it. Lord, give them insight, give them wisdom. And yes, we pray for all. Lord, for those that think their gender isn't right, Father, bring them help. Bring them godly help to know that you created them male and female, and that's it. Lord, we lift all this to you. Thank you that because you live, we can face tomorrow. And you are the hope of the nations, and our eyes are upon you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you, Cindy. We're going to sing our closing hymn. Because he lives. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. A little longer today, but hey, if we can't spend a little longer praying for our nation here, then something's wrong, right? Let's stand, please. God sent his Son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He bled and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because he lives. Amen. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And then one day, across that river, I'll fight life's fight, no more with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Please receive the benediction. And now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. And as a continued prayer for our nation, we sing, God Bless America. God bless America, land that I love, stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans, white, yes. God bless. America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam, God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Thank you, Cindy, for the music. Beautiful. And coffee hour.